Хөрхөн охид trap сонсон trap сонсон trap сонсон trap сонсон trap донтсон trap донтсон trap Түүний сонсон хөгжим дур булаа Даадас дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа
Everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. We're doing a live Vegas edition. We didn't go to LA. I went to Vegas to do shows all week, and the UFC moved away from me. But it's going to be a great, great show. I got Mike Pyle in the house.
Hello.
Mike Quicksand Pyle. I think should be a UFC Hall of Famer. Just one of the best fighters ever.
That's a far stretch.
As well as Serena DeJesus. DeJesus.
Close.
Yeah, I never know if it's the Jesus or the Jesus. But I like it. But Serena, it's the Southpaw, right?
What's Southpaw Outlaw.
Southpaw Outlaw. I like it. As well as Chris Jonesy Jones, my man who's opening for me all week. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, marijuana in California is legal. So why have to leave your house to get it? Okay, you get Chinese food delivered. You get pizza delivered. Get marijuana delivered because you go outside. Woo. You go to a dispensary. All these bud tenders like, hey, try this, try that. Then you get in your car. You get pulled over. Now you got a DUI. Okay, you're looking at $20,000, and they set you up. I see these cops. They wait for you to leave a dispensary to give you DUIs. Fuck that. Get it delivered to you. Go to speedweed.com. Go to @speedweed.com, @speedweed. Check them out. Mention Roasted. You get $10 off, $100 or more. Also, people,
Santa Cruz Medicinals, okay? It's got potent CBD-infused coconut oil, olive oil, MCT oil, vape pens, and more. This stuff is amazing. It helps you with stress, helps you with pain relief. It's gluten-free, it's vegan, it's paleo, and sugar-free. It's lab-tested. Go to scmedicinals.com. scmedicinals.com. Okay, mention MMA Roasted. You get $5 off. They got vape pens. I mean, they got everything. They got CBD-infused clay mask, okay, for women and for men. If you want to look better and your skin look better, use this stuff, okay? They also have a vape pen, all right? They got a great vape pen. These guys, they work really hard to give you the best possible product, and I'm telling you, all right? CBD, it increases your recovery process. It can increase your appetite. Check it out. scmedicinals.com. You will not regret it.
So, it's going to be a great podcast today. I'm feeling it. I'm in Vegas. So as we all know with the John Jones thing, so it's not new news, but I got to get my man Mike and Serena, since you guys are pro fighters, your opinion on.
Well, first, do you know where I can get any weed?
Yes. I know where you can get some weed.
Okay.
And I will have.
Same here.
And I honestly.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been using it for my recovery. It's been great.
After the show,
this
I have.
Is why you guys agreed to do the podcast?
So probably.
Just to get some free weed from Adam?
Yes. Probably.
I don't know. I don't know where I could get it, though.
I got you covered, Mike.
Now, a lot of people have different theories on what happened, okay? Some people think that. So, obviously, John Jones tested for positive for a micro.
A picogram.
A picogram.
Whatever that is.
Of whatever it is.
That's
and then
Spanish for tiny.
And they, uh-huh. They moved the whole thing over to California. I think they could have done it differently. Personally, I think they should have kept it in Vegas and just had one of those secret fights. Like, you know how like WWE used to have, or like a contender fight.
Or how Rizin's doing that little promotion thing with Floyd Mayweather.
It couldn't be secret with all the social media nowadays.
But
yeah,
right. But they have like a special people could have came like 100 people and like how they do the contender.
Yeah.
And then they could have had it like in California and then they could have beamed it in even like hologram style or like actually. Okay. And then that was one way.
Some futuristic shit. I love it.
Or on like a cruise ship. Mm-hmm. Have a special John Joe's Gus cruise.
Okay. All right.
I mean, hey. Those are.
I'm following you.
Those are ideas. But what do you think would happen, Mike? What's your opinion on the whole thing?
Well, obviously the. Weren't they going there so they could get away with the commission or something? I'm totally not on board. I mean, I'm not up to date with what actually.
So basically,
the hell is
they
going
said
on?
That, like that he would have been that because it's the holidays and because it's Christmas that he wouldn't have been able to fight in Vegas, but California they're more aware of what's going on because that's where Jones.
What do you mean wouldn't be able to fight in Vegas because of the holidays?
They wouldn't have cleared him. The Nevada State Commission wouldn't have cleared him in Nevada.
For that micro dose.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
was
yeah.
The, okay.
But other people are saying that, look, how do you pass 10 tests in a row?
Well, how do you pass a USADA and then a state and then the commission has
according to I talked to Forrest Griffin, he said that basically though that this stuff stays in your body forever or for a long time. Hmm. And because he was losing weight, the closer you get to your weight, the more fat you burn. And then all of a sudden, the closer you are to your fighting weight, then it shows up because of that.
It just sounds like Jones just got caught again and he just wrong doctors. The right doctors almost had him get away with it.
I mean, you've been in the gym for a big part of your life. How rampant is steroid use in the gym?
Well, I mean, as you could tell, Serena is on the dope.
Totally.
Yes.
All day, huge. Every day.
she's raging. Karen
Did you ever know the guys were the guys you like?
Yeah,
with?
You know, there was always guys in there that obviously they're on something, but you know.
Now, could you feel the difference before they were on something and after?
Well, I don't know if I went through peaks of their up and down on their cycles and things. It's just people coming through the gym, me training somewhere else, things like that. It wasn't I knew if they were on cycle or not cycle or what.
Can they put a cap on the amount of traces of this chemical that they can kind of give a pass? Now, well, I know this guy's got a history.
That's the weird thing about this, because Frank Mir released a lengthy statement about him failing for almost the same amount, and USADA said they couldn't test back more than a few months or something. Now we have Bones Jones popping for almost 2 years since his last fight. Now he's having that system thing. So either USADA just failed both Frank Mir and Tom Lawler, because Tom Lawler had picograms of ostrin, which I have never fucking heard of in my life. And he got the ban hammer for 2 years, and then the UFC released him right before his suspension was up.
Yeah.
So either USADA has really screwed these guys over and failed to let them know, or they're giving Bones a free pass. Either way, someone's in the wrong, and there needs to be a fix to the situation.
Yeah, I felt bad for all the people that came in from Sweden, and people got hotel rooms and couldn't get refunds.
It's taken me 7 to 10 business days to get a refund for my ticket, and I fucking live here.
Really?
I can't imagine how it's going to feel for people who flew in, because now if they fly in and they want to go to L.A., good luck finding room and board on fucking New Year's Eve weekend. Yeah. If it's not up the ass with prices, you can't find shit there.
Well, the good thing is, though, if they're here, they can see Adam perform.
Yes.
That's right.
And I'm going to be personally there on the 30th. So
yes,
if anyone
thank
wants
you.
To join,
last night, Forrest Griffin came to the show, and I was busting his chops. Forrest is here. He's such a great athlete that after his fights, he actually sprints back, too, and does more sprints. He laughed. Nobody else knew what the fuck I was talking about. And then Justin
probably laughed like this.
That's exactly
no lies detected.
Is that how he laughs?
Yeah.
1,000%. I knew when he found every joke funny.
Your cartoon character.
And then Justine Kish was there too. She's the girl who I didn't know I was supposed to make jokes about her. She's the one who actually shit the octagon. She crapped.
You didn't make her laugh so hard she shit herself? Come on now.
I tried. But I actually said to her, I go, is it cool if I talk about what happened? And she's like, sure. And then I said, I talked about what happened, how she got squeezed so hard she actually shit in the octagon. Mm-hmm. But to her credit, she actually wrote on Twitter minutes after shit happens.
Yeah, she rolled with it like a champ. You gotta love her for it.
But she was telling me that somebody offered her $10,000
to shit on them.
Yeah, probably.
I wouldn't put it past
because I got five on it.
Somebody offered her $10,000 for those panties. But she didn't sell them.
Small Japanese guy.
Yeah, that or CB Gold. But but yeah, $10,000. So
she should have taken that. I think
I know. Right?
She probably would have. She should have. I probably would have. Shoot, but thankfully I haven't shit myself yet. If I was in that situation, I mean, money's money. I don't need to know what they're doing with it later.
Yeah. So what are you doing with that? Or why couldn't you just get another pair of panties and have your dog shit and just fucking?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now you got to fuck with some other shit. I'd rather fuck with my own shit than fuck with some other shit.
It's a good point.
They may test the shit if they're investing that much money too.
Yeah, probably. You got a point.
This is not human shit you sent
me. The yakuza comes and knocks on your door. Well, panty.
So funny. But like I said, Vegas, where prostitution, gambling, and weed illegal, but John Jones isn't.
Nope.
Oh my God, dude.
Crazy. So I got to talk to you about Pyle.
They were going to try to move LA here because of this mishap, right? But they decided to go there instead.
Hmm. To the fucking Forum, no place, no less.
Move LA here. What do you mean? Oh, that's funny. Yeah, yeah.
Again, it's like they're moving into like, the what? Forum. It's waka, like, did waka. We not? Did we already not see a catastrophe happen at the Forum earlier this year? Anyways, with Chuck Liddell and Tito. Jesus fucking Christ!
Tito, I was talking to you. That was terrible. That was
probably one of the saddest things I've ever seen. Oh my God!
I was at the award show. Remember, Tito was talking about getting on that card.
Yeah, I remember that.
Did you actually follow up with it, or did you?
Nah, I didn't really. That was it. It was cocktail talk.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You know,
I gotta talk to you, Mike, because I did some research about you last night.
Okay.
You grew up in Dresden, Tennessee.
I grew up in Dresden, Tennessee. That is correct.
How many people were in town?
That's a little small town, probably about 3,500 at best. Oh, and there's a couple stop signs.
Did you play any sports?
I did not.
No,
I played.
No sports.
I played one season of football my freshman year.
How'd that go?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Terrible.
I couldn't run. I was long and lanky, skinny. I couldn't run fast, but I could catch a football no matter how you threw it to me. But a freaking lineman could catch up with me.
And then your parents moved to Alabama.
I did. I moved to Alabama.
When you were 17?
I split, yeah. I got out of there.
By yourself?
No, I went with family.
Family, okay.
Yeah, went with family over
and there. I read that you saw a friend of yours said, hey, man, check out this Gracie.
It was 18, actually.
Your friend's like, hey, check out Hoist Gracie, UFC.
No. What it was is I started Taekwondo because, mind you, in my small town, there's not shit to do there. You got basketball, football, baseball. Everybody lives by that. So there's no wrestling. There's no martial arts. And I was always a huge Bruce Lee fan, Chuck Norris, Van Damme, you know, all that. And so I was always influenced. So I'm always doing all my karate moves and shit when I'm a kid. You remember that kid in Smoking Aces where his fingers got blown off and he was in the bathtub and the kid in the trailer park had the headband on and the karate suit
yes.
constantly was coming up
movie.
To the guy and punching him, punching at his face but never touching him, just annoying little fucker. That was me. Yeah, that was the kind of karate inspired kid I was, but there was no guidance there. So once I'd moved, there was a Taekwondo studio down the road. That was it. I'm like, I'm definitely going there. I see a kick going in the air, whatever. I'm going to go do that. So I started doing that. And I liked the roughness of it all. So we were always a little rough, a training partner. I mean, a student in there at the time. So we'd get a little rough. So she'd let us play off to the side when it was sparring time because she knew we would hit a little harder and it was fine and keep us away from the other people. Well, anyway, he came in one day. He was like, dude, you have to come over and check out this damn thing I rented. It's called Ultimate Fighting Championship. And there's this guy, this jiu-jitsu guy, that's breaking people's arms and just choking. It's badass. You got to see this. So I went, and that was it. I was like, dude, that is cool. Jiu-jitsu, not the actual sport itself. That was cool, but I saw jiu-jitsu, and I was like, that is unique.
So you built a shed in your backyard?
No, I didn't build a shed. The she shed existed already.
There was a shed in your backyard.
There was an old garage, but this house that I finished growing up in was a house from the 40s. It's an older house that we'd bought from family members, and it had an old garage out back, and it had the tin roof. And where you could park the car underneath. And then adjacent to that was just a small 13 by 11, I think, was the floor in there. So I ripped everything out, put walls in and carpets, as many carpets as I could find, and then a tarp that you could get at Walmart to cover wood. Covered that up. That was my mat. Wait. And that's when I moved back. So I started doing that in Alabama. So I came back home to Tennessee. And then I sought out training on how do you grapple? How do you put people in arm locks? How do you choke people? How do you do that? So Black Belt Magazine was a go-to for me because now Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has hit the scene at this point. Now there's step-by-step moves in Black Belt Magazine. First, it was Thrasher magazines. I was trying to learn how to ollie and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, so that was my information board. I didn't have YouTube, so. Now I'm pulling it out of Black Belt Magazine, here to arm.
Well, who did you have to train with?
Myself. I'm getting to that, Adam.
Okay, go on.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you drink enough moonshine in Tennessee, you can just fight yourself.
Oh, we drink moonshine.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Wait, so
apple pie moonshine's pretty legit, though.
So you were trading with yourself?
So myself. So I was like, you know, how am I going to do this? So I also started to get acquainted with some other martial artists in town that did a little. Oh, I found a taekwondo school about 10 minutes away, 15 minutes away that had some judo. So I went there and was practicing that, where I'd met a guy who was an older guy but knew grappling a little bit, like an arm, just the basic stuff like that. And so he started showing me. We'd wrestle around a lot. And then so I started converting the shed, getting videotapes from Black Belt Magazine, got a grappling dummy that had arms on it. So I'd arm lock it, put a gi on it, choke the shit out of it, you know, hang it up, punch it, all that, shoot, wrestle on it, take it down, beat it up. And then occasionally I'd persuade some of my friends to also come do that with some beer and this, that, and other, and practice all my moves on them and shit. But then my cousin who had lived with us at the time, were the same age. He was always a martial artist too, or inspired. So we were grappling and training with each other a little bit. And then my sister got a boyfriend, which she eventually married. He became one of my first students, blah, 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 blah. And so then at that point, I just started branching out, and I found a school that was, I met a guy in a, I was on lunch break from work. I went to Pizza Hut to eat something healthy. And I saw this guy with this Gracie Jiu-Jitsu shirt on, and I knew of Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, but I'd never met anyone else who was interested in my. And anyway, so I just went and just introduced myself, and he was like, he was kind of taken back, right? He was like, I was like, hey, I see you got a Jiu-Jitsu shirt on. And he's like, yeah, sure do. But anyway, so we got to talking. He's like, yeah, I got mats in my garage, this, that, and the other. So he and I started training, and he knew how to grapple, so he was catching me a lot. And I caught on pretty quick, and then started beating him at will. And then we found out at school.
And now, your parents think you're crazy for doing this?
No.
They were supportive of it?
Yeah. I mean, I was one of the kids that just kind of did what I wanted anyway.
Now, okay, so your first fight is against Rampage Jackson.
That was one of Rampage Jackson's first fights, for the record.
Okay, gotcha. Now, Rampage, now how long did it take for you to get, when you started training, to when you fight Rampage?
About 95 is when I started training in the grappling arts. So, let's see, 97 is when he
and I
fought.
So 2 years later. You had no actual spot. You were sparring in your garage. You were actually like,
yeah, no, I was. I had a training partner name. His name was Brad Lynn, who was about 150 pounds, 165, floated in between there. Was one of my main training partners for many, many years. It's just he and I. We put together fight strategies and put together our training, how we should train, how we drills and things we could do to try to get each other down on the ground. You know, one guy wear big gloves, and the guy wearing the big gloves is coming to take your head off, and all you can do is just shoot in underneath his punches and take him down like Hoist Gracie does. You know, and you were Hoist. You know, I'm Hoist.
You had to just kind of improvise.
Like, I improvised throughout my
walk
entire
into the woods
career.
And try and find a Bigfoot to wrestle, like anything like that.
You know, I would make invitations. I would make invitations like an old high school prick dude that I knew.
Like put up flyers like anyone.
No. But
come and fight me in my.
He was
shack?
The tough guy. Love Shaq, baby. Yeah.
Oh, at the local library. Well, I could join a book club. Oh, I could fight a young man in a shack. Oh, that sounds lovely. What's the address?
But like, okay, so Rampage. If you guys don't know Jones, you know Rampage is this huge.
I don't know who Rampage.
He
was.
He played. you might know him from.
I know the video game Rampage.
The A Team. He's this huge black guy, just enormous, giant, scary.
He played B.A. Baracus.
And he has this huge chain around his neck.
All right.
So, okay.
But that guy weighs more than you.
Oh,
right.
I'm getting there. Okay.
What
so
the hell?
You sign up to fight him at 175.
I was set up to fight someone at 175 that got hurt.
Okay.
Then the promoter called me and said, hey, fight off, pal. That's how he talks.
Okay.
So when I talk like that, that's him. Okay.
But okay, so then Rampage shows up, misses weight by 25 pounds.
So he says, hey, he says, so-and-so got hurt. I was like, dude, I'm ready to go. Like, I mean, I dislocated both my knuckles at this point, by the way, a week prior. So those were jammed up, nasty. I was like, dude, I'm ready to go fight. Like, I wasn't. This guy got hurt. I got hurt, but I wouldn't say anything. So anyway, he's like, yeah, you got hurt? I'm like, well, you got anybody? Like, he's like, no, I got nobody, pile. I was like, well, any, come on, give me something. Just, he was like, there's Rampage, but I know you ain't going to find out, so let's do it. He goes, you sure?
And this guy was 200 plus
pounds?
He
weighed in at 206.
Jesus 206. And you were 170-ish?
I was 170, soaking wet, and yeah.
And crazy. You were like,
and crazy. Yeah. Do it. Yeah. I said, we'll do it. And I knew of Rampage through the circling
grappling circuit?
Yeah, the grappling circuit. And, you know, he had his famous howl. He'd pick people up and slam them. They started making rules up for this cat, so he'd stop slamming people on their damn head. You know, he'd pick them up and slam them out of submissions and shit. So, and then he, when he would finish people, he'd howl. He'd do his, you know, whole thing. And
you didn't care.
No, I mean, so I knew of him. And I'm like, yeah, I know who he is. Let's do it. It's a fight. We're gonna do it. And you know, and the way that I was inspired was, you know, the Gracie way was like, we'll take on anyone, any size, any style, whatever. Let's do it. And that was my mentality. No weight classes. Then it wasn't even a weight class. I didn't have to make weight. So many of my first fights, I never made weight for anything.
But you're looking across the ring from him. At him.
So I'm looking across the ring at him and. And he's ready to rock, and I'm ready to rock. And my right hand was the one that my knuckles were. It came out of socket.
From punching trees?
No. I did have tires.
From punching himself.
A tree that I would
punching
kick.
Himself.
So stupid. But yeah, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to hit him with open hand, you know. So the first thing I did, I was like, I got to hurt him, and I got to hurt him fast. Because he's a big motherfucker. And he's just looking at me like with this, you know, with your best WWE guy standing over another side with that mean looking face, right? Like very, and I'm just like, all right, let's get it on. Don't hit him with the closed fist. Boom. First thing I do, right in the mouth with the closed fist. So it starts throbbing and hurting right off the bat. But anyway, so we get into grappling and he's just constantly escaping everything, picking me up. I'd have him in a full blown arm lock. He would pick me up and just.
Now, at one point,
a triangle, he'd pick me up like the Ricardo Arona,
yeah,
you know, and just and slam me down. And this went on for three rounds.
Now, I heard at one point you said, man, I got to do better than just jiu-jitsu. This is like,
well, he woke me up because the first five, I had five fights before him.
Okay.
And I came right out just as I'd always had been influenced by you know, Hoist, get out there. We're not boxing. We ain't kickboxing and shit. I'm shooting in. And I'm taking you down, and I'm gonna choke you. And so that was my mentality, and that's exactly what I did. I was shot in, right, poop, shot, took him right down, and or I got taken down and just would sub him right off the bat. Many of my first fights were all within the first 2 minutes of the fight.
Now, when a guy, I don't know much about fighting, but it seems to me a guy that significantly outweighs you, you want to get him down.
Mm-hmm.
Because that sort of that democratizes sort of the fight.
The strength factors.
It's like the thing, because I'm a short guy, and they're like, "Well, you date tall women," and I say, "Yeah, well, we're all the same height laying down."
Yeah.
So I feel like with fighting, like you get a big guy on the ground, and now it's kind of more.
Well, you could eat him out standing up.
I got to try that one.
Yeah. Now, I also read that he threw you out of the ring at one point.
Yeah, he threw me out of the ring at one point.
Oh shit!
Yeah. Picked me up because I had him in triangle.
Does he get a
again.
Penalty for that? Like, does it blow the whistle?
No, he got an applause.
Yeah, this is the Wild West.
The Crace went.
Wait, so you have him in a triangle. He takes you over the ring and just throws you.
So
up.
I got him in triangle. So he picks me up, walks me out because now he's getting fatigued from slamming me all around, you know, like a wrecking ball. Picks me up and is like, ugh. Kind of comes over to the corner and is like, oh, fuck it. So it just throws me right off, and then my corner catch me. And then
they caught you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't like I was flying through the air. It was just, you know,
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
Rocky
I'm just,
like,
I'm crumbling over the ropes. You know what I mean? I'm crumbling over, and they're just catching me and rolling me back in. And at this time,
in the crowd.
And at this time, I'm like, wait, just hold on a second. And they're just like pushing me. I'm like, hold on. You know, let me get a breath. Let me act like, let me just play something here. Like, oh, that hurt.
Oh,
let me get some breath. They're just like, shoving me back in.
Did they stop
in.
The clock when this happens?
No.
Nah, this is the Wild West.
No.
So after Rampage, your next fight's against John Fitch. John Fitch, all-American wrestler, you know, fought for the title, almost won it, and you sub him in a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that he was going to be that good? Were you worried about his wrestling?
I had no idea. I didn't care. We didn't have YouTube then to study. We didn't have an office like I used to do to go down to the office here. The UFC office, get, hey man, I need videotape of so-and-so. All right, here you go. Give it to you. Didn't have any of that access. They didn't have any of that. So you just show up. They'll tell you who you're fighting. Or
you don't know nothing.
You don't know nothing. And that was the mentality, too, that I was inspired by. And then, you know, the training camps and stuff that I would go to and seminars and things with Hoist and all them, their mentality, was embedded in me. It was like, don't care. Technique over everything.
I mean, are kids today just pussies everything. Compared to what you had to go through?
Yeah, is this better or worse? How do you weigh in on that?
I wouldn't say better or worse. I am who I am through how I, you know.
There's no option.
I didn't have an option. I wanted it to happen, and I was going to make sure it happened. So I took the only steps that I knew that would get me where I wanted to be. Well, you know, it became a journey first. It was more of a journey and an interest in jiu-jitsu. It was amazing to me. You know, like I say, when I saw that first film, it wasn't, I want to do that. No, I want to do what Hoist is doing. That's what I was inspired by. I want to do what Hoist is doing, not this event.
Yeah.
And go be a fighter. I want to, and then.
But
I
your third fight, they send you to Russia. So you went from a shed to Russia and you fight. Oh, I guess it was your eighth fight because you had five fights.
I've got fights before. Yeah, I got
Andrei Semenov.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was 15-1.
Mm-hmm.
He had beaten world champions.
Fought in Pride.
I mean, what's that like for a kid from a 3,000 person town in Tennessee and Dresden to all of a sudden be in Russia?
Well, before that, prior to that, I was living in Copenhagen, and I became a middleweight tournament champion there in Copenhagen, Denmark, before this fight, actually.
Has you
before the Russia fight?
Has that your Wikipedia has you going to Denmark afterwards?
No, Wikipedia is wrong because I won the belts there, and then I fought Semenov.
What was that like living in Denmark?
It was awesome. It was awesome. It's great. Women are so ugly over there.
They probably don't shave either.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it's terrible. Everybody stay away from
there. Was there good training over there?
Yeah, well, I was brought over there actually from the John Fitch fight. There was a Danish guy there who came up to me and says, hey, my guys are all good Thai fighters, but I want to teach them MMA. Would you want to come to Denmark and teach my guys how to wrestle and grapple, and then we'll exchange. I'll pay you to teach them, but then, you know, I'll help you with kickboxing and all this. And I said, why not? So that's what got me there.
So then you go 3-0. Then you come back and you beat Shoni Carter in the first round. Shoni Carter's a guy who had beaten, you know, Matt Serra, Dave Monet, Chris Lytle.
Yeah, I was defending the belt that night. I'd won that belt.
You beat the Angry Hick.
Yeah, Brett Bergmark.
The Angry Hick.
That's an amazing fight name. Oh my God.
See, yeah, isn't it? That's a good one, right?
That is pretty fucking awesome. Which,
I mean, no offense, but I would think you'd be the Angry Hick. Then you fighting him.
It was just a little angrier.
I believe he played the role better. He wore a cowboy hat and boots and shit.
But he was from Modesto, right? Or something, or Stockton?
Fuck if I know.
Okay, so you beat him. Now, at what point do you start thinking, I'm really good at this?
I don't know.
Because you're beating guys that are like, have beaten world champions. I mean, Shoni Carter beat Dave Monet, who was the
UFC champion. After every win, I was more confident. You know, just after every win. I wouldn't say there was one in particular, but just after, you know, that momentum gets going, you just keep winning and, you know, and you're obviously making the right decisions to get you to where you're at, you know, training-wise, coach-wise, whatever-wise. So, yeah.
And then
probably after all,
then you fought a guy that I trained with, Matt Horwich,
mm-hmm.
Who this guy, I think he might be on the spectrum as well. I don't know.
What are you looking at me like that for?
He's definitely out there.
There's no autism radar I got. That thing broke.
Autism radar.
That would be a good superhero, actually. Autism radar.
Yeah, be able to sense all the autistic people from a mile away. Yeah, no, that's... Look, I don't even get along with most other autistic people. I mean,
really?
Yeah, it's like saying all white people should get along. Or, you know, you see how that well that's working out, right?
But Serena, okay, we'll go back Mike in a second. But now, I know that you have autism, but I would never know it. If I just was hanging out with you, I would think maybe you're a little eccentric, but I would never know, like, what about, like, what is it, what is your form of autism?
So right now, well, better term. Technically it's Asperger's syndrome. So right. With me, I mean, when I was little, I couldn't walk to save my fucking life. I was like on my toes. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, tripping over my own goddamn 2 feet. I'm skinny. I'm like, I look like a fucking string bean. I couldn't.
And this changed last year?
No, changed over a course of time. Because from when I was a little girl till I was about 13, I was misdiagnosed. I'm throwing on all these different, you know, psych meds that made me, you know, fat. It made me like all depressed and all sorts. It did everything that it was not supposed to fucking do. So it wasn't until they finally took me off all these medicines when I was 13 and they examined me for about a week. It's like, she's not any of this. She's autistic. And this is early 2000s. Everyone's like, well, what the fuck is autism? And so they start reading about it, and it's like, oh my God, this made fucking sense the entire fucking time. She memorizes everything, and she doesn't shut up about the stuff she learns. Jesus Christ. And it makes sense that I couldn't, like, catch a fucking ball. Like, hell, I couldn't tie my shoelaces till I was 9 years old by myself. Like, my motor skills were shit. So I went through occupational therapy, physical therapy, until, like, I was in middle school. And then I started having my social training, because I had a case manager till I was 20 years old. I'm going to be 27 next
month. What's a case manager?
Mental health case manager. So they work alongside the parents and the client, me, set on goals on, you know, how to progress and learn how to live, you know, independently, learn how to people. So I learned how to, if it wasn't angry, happy, or sad when I was growing up, I didn't know what the fuck it was. So all the other subtle hints, emotions, like people doing this with their eyebrows, I didn't know what the fuck that was. I didn't know what sarcasm was either. So I had to learn all of this within such a short span of time.
Wow.
Because when I turned 20, the case manager was gone. But by that time, I was all honors in high school, dean's list every semester in college, you know. I wasn't no pushover.
You're great at memorizing things.
I would like to think so, except math. Fuck that shit.
But, yeah, fuck that shit.
Yeah, but I was good. But I realized when I was younger that physical exertion was really good for me. Like Mike, I also did taekwondo. That's probably why I kick everybody's legs so hard. So I did taekwondo. I power lifted in high school. I kind of got a little fat. I was a solid 180, but I was like squatting like 320 and shit.
Wow.
And but after high school ended, I didn't have a weight room to go to. So I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, what am I going to do? If I just work and go to college all day, I'm probably going to kill somebody. Like you said, most fighters, if they didn't have fighting, they'd probably be a serial killer. Probably me. Anyways.
But you're doing great. By the way, congrats on your first win.
Thank you.
And now, do you think, are you having a tough time getting a second fight?
Yeah, I'm a little injured right now. It happened right after my fight. My shoulder got a little fucked up in training.
Do you think a lot of times people don't want to fight you because if they win, they beat up an autistic person? And
yeah, exactly. Probably that's the case. You know, it's just like, how does it feel to lose the autistic girl? People here are probably and be like,
are there other autistic girls you could fight?
No. Oh. I'm actually the first female pro fighter on the spectrum.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm the first female professional fighter with autism. Yeah, first one. The first, I thought
Brian Caraway was.
Leave the poor man alone. He's gone through too much.
I love Brian Caraway.
Leave that poor man alone.
Is it true that people aren't fighting you because of this?
No, that's
not true.
No, they just probably hear all the stories about everybody limping for a good solid month, but that's about it.
They're afraid of you.
There you go.
Ooh. I don't care. It's just, if they want to be pussies, it's fine, whatever, fuck them. You know?
Whoa. All right, so, but we are looking for a second fight.
Yes, I'm going to be probably healed up by the end of February or March, and I'll get right back into training and build myself up. And when I'm ready.
Is it hard for you to, because I know your motor skills are bad, is it hard for you to learn certain techniques?
Yeah, a little bit. My motor skills ain't shit now, thankfully. I mean, if they were shit, people wouldn't be losing to me.
Right.
Let's put it that way. So, I do all right fighting. There's times I'll need John or Mike or people to like kind of go through things a little bit more because I'm so hyper focused on such the smallest movements, like the half an inch, you know, hip turn to get a choke or whatnot, or to escape, or the foot rotation to get the perfect power off a punch. I'm so hyper focused on these little ass movements, I usually miss the big picture.
Yeah, I usually get the big picture, but miss all the movements. but Roxanne's your roommate, and she takes things very slowly, so that's got to help you.
Yeah, it's great. We kind of act the same when it comes to learning techniques, and I love her. She's like the big sister. I always want it because I'm the oldest of four kids. And
now your siblings also have autism, correct?
Yes. So I'm the oldest of four kids, so three out of four of us have autism.
And you were adopted?
Yeah, no.
I heard you were adopted.
You heard wrong. Anyways.
Oh, Wikipedia?
Okay. No, somebody told me you're, okay, I was like, I thought maybe all you were, like your parents specialized in adopting autistic kids.
Yeah, probably.
That would be awesome. That, like the best parents in the history of parents.
Yeah. No, I don't know how the fuck they put up with any of us, honestly, but they do all right. We got the youngest of the family, he's 15 years old. He's also on the spectrum. He is a varsity freshman wrestler.
But that kid looks Mexican.
I know he does. Look, it goes from like the printer was full of ink to like no color at all when you go down the family line. Because there's me, my 19-year-old brother, who looks kind of like a mix between, you know, me and my dad. And then it gets dark. And then my little sister is a little darker. Then bam, there's Brandon, the youngest.
By the way, your mom sent me the nicest books for our baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's always big on knowledge is power.
She's so sweet. She's so sweet.
I wanted to say, this is the first I've heard of autistic individuals being very into physical activity. I lived next to a guy who was autistic for a couple of years in New York City, and he sort of was the stereotype when you think of autistic mm-hmm. people, very bookish. Mm-hmm. You know, very bookish.
Yeah.
He's a professor at Cornell. He's very, very good with statistics. He's a statistics person. He's very good with numbers, memorization at the computer all day. Mm-hmm. Very rarely did I ever see him get involved in anything physical. The people that I have known who have autism, not into sports, this kind of thing, this is the first I'm hearing of it. You have a whole family that mm-hmm. is athletic. And I think this is amazing to hear this to mm-hmm. me.
Well, I'm not the other. There's another autistic fighter who was in the UFC and he's still kind of active. John Doomsday Howard.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't get diagnosed until he was in his 30s.
Yeah, PFL guy.
And that came because he had to get a psych eval for his brain for whatever reasons. Mm-hmm. And that's when they discovered he also is autistic. Outside of the fighting realm, there's another person who just got diagnosed as autistic at age 70. The actor Anthony Hopkins.
Wow. Get out.
Anthony Hopkins?
Yes.
Oh, I love Anthony Hopkins.
If you notice, he rubs his hands together a lot. It's because he's stimming. So that's something that makes him kind of feel calm when you're in a nervous situation. Like, we all have our little, you know, we sweat or we look away or we're like, eh. Mm-hmm. But other autistic people do things differently. Like, I'll kind of do the hand thing. I'll kind of like put on my music, kind of tone out, tip my hat down a little more so I don't have to see people because people, you know, just eh.
Autistic people getting more involved in sports, like the concentration it takes to hit a baseball, which I've played every sport. To me, that's the hardest thing to do is to mm-hmm. hit, you know, an 85 mile an hour fastball. But I'm imagining being able to concentrate on these little details could probably give you an edge in sports.
Velocity, speed, acceleration. Knowing your own muscle memory, how hard you can hit your, you know, pressure per square inch, you know, as you hit a ball. Yeah, it could all go into it if you think about it.
You may have
that shit just got nerdy as hell.
Yeah, I love it.
It's It's not that nerdy.
So, Pyle, let's talk back to the Pyle, and then we'll go this and that and the fights this week. All kinds of stuff to cover. So, you leave the WEC for the IFL.
Yes.
Why did you do that?
Money.
They give you more money. By the way,
period.
By the way, Horwich, I heard when you fight Horwich, he tells you what move he's going to do while he's fighting you.
No, he does that in training.
Oh, in training.
Yeah.
Like, does that bother you at all, or like?
I never trained with him like that.
Oh, okay.
But that's rumor.
Yeah.
Rumor has it that when he talks his way through his training, he just talks to himself the whole time.
I like when he cornered Mayhem Miller after he lost weight by 34 pounds. Missed weight by 34 pounds.
Oh,
and then he was reading the Bible in the corner during the fight.
Oh, my God.
And then Mayhem said, I talked to Mayhem again from jail, by the way. He's doing better. He goes,
that's good.
He said, Matt, how much time is left in the round? He goes, huh?
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, that was...
Hallelujah.
So you go... now, your first... You finally get to the UFC. You get to the UFC, you fight Brock Larson.
That's correct.
That was your first loss in the UFC. Did your whole, were you crushed by that loss?
Well, no, I knew what I was getting into because I was in Bulgaria shooting a film, and I got a week's notice, maybe a week and a half. My agent called or emailed me, hey, UFC is looking for somebody. I threw your name in the hat. They're down if you wanted to do it. And I was like, dang, like I'm 190 pounds right now. I haven't been training. All I've been doing is going to set every day.
Universal Soldier?
Yeah, with Universal Soldier. So I wasn't training at all.
Now, was that with Van Damme or Seagal?
That's with Van Damme, yeah. Damme, Andrei Arlovsky as well.
What was it like working with Van Damme?
Oh, it was cool. It was cool. It was funny because he wanted to try to tell me, you know, that he, to let me know he's still a badass, you know.
Well, what do I? What
and
do you
his
say?
His training regimen. Well, we were having some tea, he and I, back at his trailer.
That sounds really
yeah.
Sounds a little gay. Sounds
very sus that one. All right. So what
anyway,
happened?
Anyway, there were other people there too, okay. Right?
Fine.
Some call them orgies.
Richard Simmons was there.
Anyway, so we're talking. He was like, you know, and he trained with a Crow Cop. They know each other, and they trained together. And he was just telling me stories about that. And, you know, he helped him train for the Gonzaga fight and stuff, you know.
Really?
Yeah, it was cute.
Okay, now,
did
you ever spar with him or no?
Van Damme?
Yeah.
No, I never sparred with Van Damme.
Did you ever roll with him?
No. We wouldn't have had the chance. We're working.
Now, you were like a major part in that movie, right?
Yeah, I was a co-starred in the damn thing, believe it or not.
I mean, that must have been awesome.
Dude, it was epic.
Now, were you thinking that this is the beginning of your action career?
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah, because everything I've ever done, just, everyone's like, this is it. This, no matter how
you
small
know what I mean?
It is, everyone's like, oh, dude, once people see this Skittles commercial that only airs in fucking Japan,
crickets.
It's going to be, yeah. So you think, oh, you know what? Fuck it. I don't have to fight anymore. I'm going to be a...
No, I didn't go that far. I was just really... overjoyed with having the opportunity because the things that I do on films and TV shows now are very small and minuscule, but you know, it's often so it's still enjoyable. I still enjoy, but this was
Van Damme movie.
You're getting picked up by the van, you know, you got your own little everything.
You auditioned for this movie?
I did not.
How'd you get the movie?
Well, that's another story.
Oh, jeez.
I want to hear it.
That's another podcast. Story. Yeah. A friend of Randy Couture's, which was an agent and a sports agent slash had his nose in everything.
Randy
agent.
Was in a great movie recently, by the way. It was a solo film. All right, go on. Okay, so a friend of Randy Couture.
Yeah.
Go on. Go on.
Yeah, that okay. Image is in my head now, brother.
I'm sorry.
Way to go, Randog. Now you're really going to blow up.
It's only natural.
Time to right. Blow up it now. Happens. It's only natural.
Go, all right, go on. So what happened? It's that stand-up. All right, okay.
Juicy Couture.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hey, man, he's extreme. All right, okay, so go on. So what happened?
I'm so happy I can look John in the eyes and not have any issues versus everybody else. It's probably extreme.
Wait till John is 50. He'll be doing that.
Yeah, oh, right. Jesus okay. Christ. I wouldn't put it past him.
But what were we saying?
Right,
what
so was a friend it? Of Randy.
Oh, yeah, so anyway, I'd gotten a call from Matt, is his name, and he said, hey, you know, this could be a shot in the dark, but... this director named John Himes who did Smashing Machine, the documentary on Mark Kerr.
Love that.
So John Himes did that. And so he said that they were interested in possibly having me fill this role. And you know how you get that all the time. Like, hey, we're going to put you on this show and then we're going to put you on this, that and the other. And, you know, and it just cocktail talk, right? But I said, well, yeah, the answer is yeah. He goes, good, I'll send you the script. And you let me know. If you're interested, I'll send you a script. Let me know. I'll give you a couple of days. Read it over or today, whatever. I don't remember. So I read it. And the way that it was told to me is the character, the NGU, which is New Generation something, the NGU is what they're asking for. And basically it's a... one-liners just here and there, basically two or three lines throughout the entire movie, but you're the badass. You're kicking the doors open, looking in, boom, people are shooting you, you're a universal soldier, you're not getting killed. So I thought, that's easy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to talk, you know, I'm just badass and just kick and punch, I can do all that. So I said, yes, absolutely, I'll do it, of course. No matter what it was, I'm going to do it.
Right.
Yeah, I'll do it. And he said, great, I'll have the... He goes, I'll let him know. I'm just like, all right. It's too weird, right? It's just too weird. Anyway, he says, he hits me back. He says, hey, good, they're happy. He's actually going to call you in 3 hours because of the time difference. So he called me. He's like, hey, Mike, it's John Himes. I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here? He's like, it's John Himes. He's like, great, man. I'm glad. He's like, I love, you know, I saw all your stuff on YouTube and you're perfect for this character. Thank you. Come on. you know, we'll fly you first class and everything. So, you know, flew first class on Virgin all the way out there. Yeah, it was, and it was incredible. So that was a great, incredible experience. So,
and how long were you out for there for?
A couple months.
Wow.
A couple months, yeah.
And then it turned into a pretty big role.
Yeah. One of the main characters, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I said, yeah. So we're talking on the phone. He goes, yeah, it'll be great. He's like, don't worry, you'll be fine. I was like, yeah, it's pretty easy. I just kick some doors in, shoot some people, you know, one-liner, da-da-da. He goes, he goes, no, that I want you to play Captain Kevin Burke. And I was like, shit. I was like, oh, yeah, no problem. Like, who's Burke?
Yeah.
Because I was just looking at all his actions and all his lines, which were no lines. It was just all actions. And I knew none of the other characters.
Burke, so
I was
has like, a lot more lines
he
than
was
the other
one
guy.
Of the main American. He was one of the main American soldiers that was running the show and guiding everyone and saving these kids. And I was like, holy crap. I have tons and tons of lines. So Randy Couture actually helped me
with
the lines.
Was it hard to memorize?
No.
I bet Burke.
It was fun and it came natural to me, to be honest with you.
And Burke was probably... substantially more money as well.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. Now Van Damme, was he everything line perfect?
He had everyone lining him perfect. You know?
Yeah.
What should I do? I heard the guy even ask his handler, I suppose, should I take a nap?
Really?
I swear to God.
He asked someone, should I take a nap?
Yeah, he was like, Should I take a nap?
No,
but
way.
I'm not going
to
go there.
So
but
the movie comes out in the theater, right? Are you the first person to see it in the movie theater?
It wasn't theatrical release in America.
Ah, okay.
But all over Eastern Europe it was.
Are you getting fan mail of people from Eastern Europe? Are people calling up
yeah.
to you? Nice. And like,
yeah.
Oh my God, you're
Twitter
great.
And stuff like that, yeah.
Universal Soldier 3.
And at the end, it has it where I'm lying in all these cryogenic tubes. So they made 10 or 15 of me right at the end, so it pans across and there's just all of Captain Kevin Burke's in there, and I was like,
they made these?
Yeah, well, they edited it in.
You laid in
it
each
was
one?
Me
boom,
yeah,
boom, boom, boom,
boom. Yeah,
now your wife edited. Are you married at that point?
No.
Okay, so are you banging lots of Bulgarian women?
No, we're still together.
Oh, okay. Of course.
Yeah,
yes.
We're still
obviously.
Together.
Yes, good. Okay, good. That's good. Now, her being Eastern European and Van Damme being a big star over there, she was super impressed by you being in this movie?
I suppose. I don't know. I mean, I was.
Yeah, you were. That's all that matters.
But no, it was fun, man. It was great. It was a great experience. I learned a lot and met a lot of great people over there. And John Hines was a great guy. He's a huge fight fan. So, like I mentioned, Andrei Arlovsky was also on there. He was the bad guy, the one running around kicking everybody's ass. He ends up killing me in the film. But the director would sneak up on us and shit and try to get us down on the ground while we're out on set. And try to wrestle with us. So cool. Super cool dude. Amazing. And his dad was a cinematographer. God damn it, John! Can we get shit done around here?
That's awesome.
Was great. Yeah, it was so fun.
Your next fight was against Chris Wilson.
Chris Wilson, yeah.
First UFC win.
Yep.
I know like a lot of times, a lot of fighters, like they do good in other organizations, but that first UFC win is the big one.
Yeah.
Was that how it was for you?
Yeah, I was very... very happy to get that win, because if I'd lost again, I'd already lost my first fight. So probably if I'd lost that second fight, they bring a new guy in real quick, you know, to replace. We'll give him a couple shots, and if he doesn't fit the bill, then, you know,
now, get rid of you. This time, are you training over at Extreme Couture in Vegas?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I heard, like, actually, you were the man at Extreme Couture. Like, I heard, like, everyone kept saying, like, Mike Pyle.
Well, we had a great, strong team. I think everyone helped sharpen everyone and make everyone, you know, a badass.
Were you there when Baroni knocked out Hendricks?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here's the story that I heard.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. I heard that Randy talked to Team Takedown and scheduled that they were going to have, like, a joint training session, right? But forgot to tell you guys there. So all of a sudden, one day, Team Takedown shows up. Ryan Bader, CB Dalloway, Johnny Hendricks, and you guys think your gym's being invaded. Like, all of a sudden, they're just taking over your gym. So then you guys are doing some light sparring, and then Baroni's in there with Hendricks, and they're going light, and Hendricks hit Baroni pretty hard, and Baroni's like, fuck this, high kicks him in the head, knocks Hendricks out stiff, and you guys are like, ooh, and then that was the day that happened to Jim.
I hope Jay Haran didn't tell that story.
No.
Okay, Good.
Is that what happened?
Know you, no, absolutely not.
All right, what happened?
Awesome.
No, absolutely not. We knew they were coming in, and we'd already been training with them for some time. Oh. You know what I mean by some time? Is it just a, you know, week or so or whatever? And Baroni's in there, and Baroni slept him with his hands actually. It was just
that was it.
Just a sparring match that got heated a little, yeah. And someone fell asleep.
It was the best thing for him because
it's a wake up call. It lets you know if you're gonna be, whoa, is that what it's gonna take? Okay, well, I'm either tapping out now or I'm gonna continue this journey, because if this is what it's gonna be like, then no, thank you.
Were you surprised recently with Baroni's bare knuckle boxing and Lieben that fight was?
Was I surprised at it?
It was a little strange.
I wouldn't say the word surprised. I don't even know what word I would use for that. It was very unique.
Very unique.
I don't even know what I don't know.
That's
it was
code name for
it
weird.
Was strange.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very strange.
Now it seems like a lot of the guys that Scream Couture, I mean, at one point you had Gray Maynard, mm-hmm. you had Heron, you had Frank Trigg,
Campman.
I mean, you guys,
Forrest.
You guys were the.
We had Vitor coming in and out quite often, and on his group.
I mean, you guys were the fucking the legend.
Jacare Souza would come in periodically. We had Drysdale, Evan Dunham, Tyson Griffin.
Wow.
You know, Randy Couture, and then Ray Sefo came in. It was solid, dude. It was some solid business going on in there.
How often did you guys see like crazy gym wars break out? Like,
oh, every time me and Jay sparred.
You and Jay Heron?
Yeah, but we would have heated ones, but never angered. It was right to that point where we're giving each other some damn good work, but we're not getting Bane damage.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So he and I, we always had some good heated ones, good, highly competitive, but never, you know, knocking each other out. But we'd be like, oh, oops, sorry, that was a little too hard, yo. You know, but, you know, Jay, you know, Jay's a great athlete, man. He's a great training partner, and he kicked shit out of you.
Yeah. Now, Frank Trigg said he used to get an Overeem's head a lot when he was sparring.
Overeem?
Did Overeem ever train there?
Not that I know of. I never trained with Alistar Overeem.
Was it Belfort? He would get into his head by telling him, like, you don't look that good today, or like you look soft or something. Like,
I don't know any of that. I don't know anything about that.
I gotta list it again.
You better write that down
yes.
next time.
Okay, so a big fight for you was John Hathaway.
John Hathaway,
was undefeated, just beat Diego Sanchez.
14-0, just came off that, yep.
You were a pretty big underdog in that fight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Do you think that they were throwing, because they seem like they threw a lot of you to the wolves a lot of these organizations.
Yeah.
Put you up against undefeated guys and but you really spoiled.
I was always the guy that they would get tested against, you know, for sure.
And a lot of guys retired after fighting you too. I looked at a lot of guys after they fought you, like, fuck it, I'm not fighting you. You ruined a lot of guys' careers.
I think maybe call that coincidence.
All right. So
I didn't ruin him. I didn't
But Hathaway.
Now Tyson, Mike Tyson. Now he might have retired, motherfuckers. Okay,
yeah,
not me.
But Hathaway, did you know going into that fight? Did you see something in his training or fights before that you were like, I could, you know?
No, they called me. Go, hey, do you want to fight this kid named John Hathaway? And I was like, I don't know of him. And they're like, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I've never turned down a fight.
Never.
Never have they ever called and said, will you fight someone? And I said, no, I've never ever said that.
Wow, how many people can say that?
I don't know. All I know is I know.
Ricardo Almeida, there's a fighter mm-hmm. that you beat in one round.
No, three round decision.
Rounds. Oh, okay, even better. He was a legend in jiu-jitsu. Though. Mm-hmm. This dude was that. I know you're a big jiu-jitsu guy. Was that like a bittersweet, or were you honored?
No, it would have been bittersweet if I beat him at jiu-jitsu, but I beat him at fighting.
Right. Yeah. And now Josh Neer. Now there's a guy.
I knocked him out.
Was there bad blood in that fight?
Not at all. You know, any time, you know, the Diaz boys or himself, Neer is going to fight anybody, they're trying to make bad blood. They're trying to make some shit. They're making an excuse why not to like you. You know what I mean? And that's who they are. And he's kind of the same, but he never got under my skin. I could care less.
Was he talking shit during the weigh-in to you? Or?
No, he's talking shit during the fight.
What was he saying?
Because I took him down pretty quickly, and he's like, come on, man, let's get up, man. Let's get up. Let's fight. You know, shit like that.
Would you be talking shit back to him?
I ain't got time to talk, man.
All right. Now, Rick Story. There's a fight. You got
coffee, Chris. With cream?
Take care, brother. Now, Rick Story, there's a fight that...
Pleasure to meet you. I'll see you.
Now, Story was a guy that hurt you early. You came back.
Oh, Story hurt me really early. Yeah, Story pop hit me right dead in the mouth. And I completely collapsed backwards and head thumped off the canvas and everything. And I think maybe that hit, my head hitting the damn canvas is what brought me back to life. Or I'm just a bad motherfucker. No, or I don't know. But so he gets over the top of me and begins to try to, you know, drop down all these punches, and I evaded him and got my wits back about me and came back, turned the fight around and started hurting him and stumbling him around and threatening him with submissions and started to take the lead.
Now, that was an awesome fight. Now, Colby Covington, another guy. Colby wanted to grind with you.
I took two pregnancy tests after that because I was very unsure.
Now, was that a fight that you wish you had back, or what would you have done different if you fought Colby again?
I probably would have tried to set my submissions up a little smarter. I would have trained my submissions a lot more. I neglected my submissions throughout in my latter part of my career, and that's one thing I regret.
You got too in love with your striking?
No, I don't know. I don't know how to word that, or you know, it's just I don't know. I started to migrate toward, not towards striking, but I don't know.
Colby Woodley, who do you think wins that fight?
Woodley.
Really?
Yeah. Woodley 100%.
Because
Woodley's better. He's just better. Kobe, he's came in and he's won some things just out of pure tenacity. Yeah. You know what I mean? Tenacity, and he can wrestle when he needs to get it done. But now he's dealing with a lot better striker and a more powerful striker, and he's probably gonna have a hard time taking him down.
Now, Serena, you got stopped in one fight early. The next day on Instagram, you were like, people were telling you all kinds of shit. You were fighting people on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, that was an Emmy mistake, literally and figuratively.
Why? Talk to me.
So, I mean, I had four fights. That was like my fourth fight. And I was just like, okay, first time, 17,000 people. That's when I really noticed my sensory issues would really be my downfall if I didn't get them addressed. And she caught me cold, and it's okay, because a year later, I retired her best friend, and I winked at her. I winked at Brietta, the girl who got me, and she retired as well afterwards, after she saw me just piece up her friend, because her friend even fought Cynthia Cavella when she was still an amateur. So it was kind of a wake-up call, like Mike said. You got to figure out, is this the way you want to go, or... are you just hanging it up right there? And I'm just like, fine, whatever. Because I even clamored for the rematch, and I kept getting turned down for it. You know, but everyone's talking to you like, oh, well, because it went all over the internet. And it's just like, dude, I'm an Emmy fighter.
It didn't go all over the internet, by the way.
It did.
I didn't see it. I only saw it
because
of you.
It was on Access TV.
I only saw it because no one watches that. No, I mean, some people watch it, but it's not as big
Inside
as
MMA with Bass Rutten. Are you telling me they don't watch that?
Not as much as you think. I hate to say it.
It was all over.
I hate to say it. Just for your own, like, it really, a lot of times, like, I do something, I'm like, fuck, everybody knows. But everybody doesn't know. I only knew because you posted it. You talked about it, then I went and looked for it. Then I couldn't find it.
I got mad, you know, because people were bringing it to my attention first that they found it. It wasn't even me saying anything afterwards because I was kind of quiet because I was trying to figure out, because I'm bouncing from Philadelphia to Las Vegas for fights at this point because there's no one in Philadelphia for me to fight. And the fact I'm seeing this all over, I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I'm an amateur fighter. All y'all shut up with your fat asses probably down in the goddamn basement.
Exactly.
But, you know, I didn't know it at the time. I was just too heated. You know, I'm going through my own personal problems. You know, that fight happened and then just...
What's the personal problems?
Oh, just, you know, stuff with my family, stuff with, like, you know, relationships. And I'm just like, you know,
Boyfriend?
Yeah, kind of at the time. I'm just like, nah. And this is why I haven't dated in such a hot minute, you know, and I'm happy for it. I'm happy being... free to do what I want.
No men in the life of Serena?
Nah. Mm. Yeah. Nothing's changed since last year.
Do guys have like autism fetishes?
You know, I wouldn't put it past people nowadays.
I could see that. I could see that happening. People have such a weird fetish.
Dude, I'm blind, I'm autistic, and I'm half Puerto Rican.
Hard to figure out if this is going to be consensual or not.
Wait, you're blind, you said?
I mean, look at how thick my fucking glasses are. I'm doing the Roxy, like I'm squinting, and when I'm in the cage, and people think I'm mean mugging the fuck out of them. It's like, no, I'm trying to see your ass. Shut up.
What? You're hilarious.
Yeah, like me and Roxy, like in the locker room, we'll switch glasses and see who notices first because we got the same prescription strength, basically.
Oh wow.
So we walk out, we see who notices first. It takes people a while because we apparently we look so alike, even when
so you fight at 35.
Yeah.
Now, at 155 right now, PFL is doing a tournament next year for Kayla Harrison. I mean, she's in it, and the winner gets $1 million. But there's no girls. They can't find any girls at 55. That's it. So you're thinking about maybe you?
Can you if make I eat a whole bunch of horse meat, maybe.
Yeah. I'm thinking, right?
Kangaroo meat.
Yeah.
So, all right. Saturday night.
Some Mexican cattle.
So Saturday night, John Jones versus Gustafson. I'm picking Jones. Pyle?
I'm going to go with Gustafson.
Yeah? Yeah. Really? Why?
Because I'm going against the grain.
That's the only reason?
I'm just going against the grain. There's too much pressure on Jones. None on.
Yeah.
There's none. I mean, they moved the entire fucking show to L.A. for this guy.
By the way, me and you were at the Nate Diaz-Connor fight, both of them.
Yeah, I was sitting right beside you.
Yeah, with me, you, and Jay. And you
couldn't keep your hands off of me.
Dude, you were like playing the flute, the Irish flute. Like, that's like a gay thing. He's actually playing it, like pretending you were like skipping around, dancing. I remember Jay Haran looking at you at one point going, I can't believe you can fight. He goes, this fucking guy, I can't believe he can fight.
Whatever Pyle was having to drink, I want some. Oh,
I think,
shit.
No, that's just Pyle, period. Okay. I think Jay gets a little embarrassed with me sometimes.
Oh,
I can get him embarrassed pretty quick.
It's so funny.
Yo, P, sit down, P. Just sit down.
What's up, people? Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. Okay, they strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence, okay? They got no commission fees. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade. But Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. They don't keep all of your profits. The design is very easy to use, okay? And you learn by doing. Learn to invest as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks and track favorites companies with personalized news feeds, okay? Listen, they're giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at mmaroasted.robinhood.com. That's mmaroasted.robinhood.com. Once again, mmaroasted.robinhood.com. Check them out right now. Listen, sexual performance issues, more common than you think. Over 25% of new ED cases are guys under the age of 40. And 40% of men by age 40 struggle from not being able to get and maintain an erection. Even the world's greatest actor can't fake one. Why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing? Well, they can turn to medicine and science. I'm telling you, people, okay? Get it together, all right? You don't want to struggle with that thing down there. It's not fun. No bueno. The solution, go to 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men, all right? I'm telling you, you don't want to finally get that girl or guy back to your place. Then, it's insulting. They take it personal. Trust me, it's never a fun thing, all right? And Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat ED, all right? There's no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits, no lines. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. It is so easy. Being your best means performing your best. It's erectile without the dysfunction. It's hard made easy. Say hello to your little friend, all right? You could try Hims for a month today, but for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/MMAROASTED. That's FORHIMS.com/MMAROASTED. 4hims.com/MMAROASTED.
By the way, how's the acting lately?
Yeah.
Anything we can see you in? Or?
No, nothing. Just doing kind of indie, nondescript type.
You can't talk about
gigs.
It.
No, just the like zombies on shows and stuff like that.
Oh, you doing like a lot of like stunt just, work?
Yeah,
nice. You like stunt work or the lines better?
Well, it depends because sometimes you say, for instance, if you're doubling someone, on some instances you will. If you're doubling the actor, sometimes if you're fighting one of the other actors and their face is to the camera and they're just using you from behind, when their face is being shown their hero shot, you give the lines too, and you act it out too as it, and you give your lines, and you go through all the fight scene, and you talk, and you're talking, so you're still performing,
right?
You're still performing, you're staying sharp, and you know.
Is it less competitive as far as the stunts?
No, it's what part? What do you mean?
Well, I figured there's probably less guys that could do stunts that can go out for the role or something. You know, there's probably a less circle of people to choose from for like stunt work than there is for.
No, there's a lot. There's. Well, you know, there is a select few that can and can't do it. You know, and when you can't do it, you're just not hired again by that person. Not
right.
Like, and not in the industry itself. You have to take time where if you're a poser and you can't do a fight scene or you can't hit a crash pad, you'll be weeded out really quick.
Now, being that you had like real experience, are actors are always, because I know actors and comedians are always like, oh, he's a fighter. Are they all like super impressed by the fact that you had so many real fights?
Yeah, you're interesting as a person when you're a fighter, and if anyone else knows about it, if you're wearing a UFC shirt or something, and you're not announcing it, and they will, they'll inquire like, oh, you know, what the fuck do you do that for? Or that's cool, you know.
Or it's a lot of like, what's up with Conor McGregor? A lot of those.
Yeah, they just ask you. Yeah, just you know, and it's fine. You know what? And it's the world that I've been in for.
As a comedian, I always have, my cousin's a comedian. Oh, really?
Do you know him?
He gets up at Harry's open mic on Thursdays in Tacoma. I'm like, yo, I'm sure he's great. So Cyborg Nunez.
I'm going to go with Nunez.
No.
Yes.
Come on.
Nunez has knocked out 45ers in the past.
Who?
I forget, but she's done.
She had knockout 45-pound dudes? You know what I'm saying?
You know what? As long as it doesn't go past the third round, because Nunes puts 100% in every swing she does. That's why, like, as the rounds go on, she gets a little fatigued, and everybody can see that. If Cyborg can drag this out to, like, maybe the fourth round.
This girl never been hurt. Never lost a round.
I don't think she's even been cut in a fight.
She went the distance. Holly went the distance with Cyborg.
Yeah.
And Holly, you know, she's tall, but frame-wise,
it's smaller. Though, than Nunez.
Point taken, but still.
So Nunez did 135. Now she went up to 145.
Yeah. Yes, it's a champ. It's the big money fight. The champion versus.
So they're still doing the girl fights then in UFC.
Yeah. Totally.
I'm kidding.
Yes. So I mean,
she's like, look, yeah, totally. Yeah.
I like Nunez. She's been to my show, been on the podcast, super cool.
I like both.
She's not
of them.
That big of a girl take on Cyborg. That dude is huge.
Cyborg is actually.
I mean, she's
height.
Huge.
She's a little bit more muscular than me, but
No.
I have pictures of
how bad are your
she's
glasses?
She's a little bit more muscular.
How bad is your
legs?
Eyesight?
Her legs are fucking.
Bit.
No, her legs are fucking.
Time for new glasses. No offense,
but her arms are a little bigger than mine. Like they're more muscular.
See your arms.
Just a little.
Well, right now, look. I'm
right now, right now in the lighting, and yeah, you're right.
Muscular arms.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I haven't trained in months because this fucking surgery is all dumb shit, but. I have a picture. I have pictures as proof.
Now, is it one of those pictures where you could like put your face up to one of those like things at the mall?
Look,
the Cyborg app.
As autistic as I am, not that technologically advanced. All right, let's go.
No, I've seen Cyborg in a bikini.
Yeah,
and she has no fat.
Did you see her nuts?
None.
She was like, "We're gonna get fucking flagged for this, bro." And then,
Sorry. Why are we gonna get flagged?
I'm not gonna flag. Someone's gonna be like, "Boo!"
Okay, guys, that's a joke on me. Not Adam.
Me. I'm just saying for you. I don't want these fucking.
Teasing.
I've met Cyborg because like
this is about
I
jokes.
Had some shitty film. My film.
Oh, you were in
shitty.
Fight Women or something.
Fight
right?
Valley. Oh my god, that thing was horrible. The director was trash. The production manager was trash.
Well,
like,
what was your character?
Oh, I was getting beat up by Misha Tate in the beginning. I was like some sort of fighter. They rearranged the script like three fucking times. I was supposed to have some part, then went to like almost no part.
It was
like
called Fight
scene.
Valley. It's about all girl prison, right?
Like an all girl like fight. It was just
all girl fight club. Cyborg was in
and Holly Holm. Yeah,
and Holly Holm.
Like, oh, cool. Was so it cool?
It was trash. Just don't watch it.
What kind of people going to want to put you in their movies? They're not going to put you in if you say don't watch it. And like,
I mean, okay. Do you want me to be honest?
No, I like
you
this.
Want me to
lie? Yeah. This is great.
Okay, I mean, I'm not going to lie to people about
it. Funny? Like, is it like funny? Like unintentionally
it's so,
funny?
It's so bad. It's funny. Maybe you know. But yeah, it's one of those.
Is Misha still in town in Vegas?
She lives
I'm
in Thailand
sure.
now.
No, yeah. She's going to Singapore because she's now the vice president of ONE Championship.
How is that even like what?
Well, look at all the fighters.
Money, probably. She's probably invested or something, right?
Has he ever had any vice president?
I don't know, but you know what? Get on them. They can do whatever.
You ever had any vice presidents? No.
Look, they
have you ever had any experience?
Three, four. How about now? You got
this
one.
This is
now?
The same company sure. that handed out a fucking Lambo to
sure,
like,
we got one.
To Funky Askren.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
So I don't know yeah. what the fuck they're doing.
All right.
Good on them. Go
so Michael Chiesa has taken on Carlos Condit. Has he been training with you guys?
Yes.
Chiesa?
He came in and trained for a couple of days. He has not been training with us.
Okay.
Really?
He didn't train here for a camp.
That's bad, but well, I'm still going to try and put some.
What's bad? What are you talking about?
Not training.
That's, no, he has been training, but he just came in a week before
okay.
the fight.
How does
and
he look?
Hanging out, looking real sharp. Yeah.
yeah. So, you
think
he'd
be Carlos Condit?
He's going to give him a run for the money.
Kind of
got
kind of lost the last fight. He got murked his last fight.
Well,
yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I like Chiesa.
I do too.
I like both of them.
That Pettis
I'm
fight
rooting
was,
for him.
It was weird, that Pettis fight.
Yeah.
He was doing good until he just got caught.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You're always doing good till you get caught, right?
It's everybody.
Right up to the point. I was doing great right up to the point I lost.
Now, your fight against Rory McDonald, by the way, right? Mm. I've talked to people like Ellenberger and Woodley. They just say he's the most awkward guy.
He's awkward. He's strong, too.
But they say it's like
he hit
you
hard.
Can't train for a guy. He's just so fucking bizarre. Mm-hmm. Is that what happened? Your experience with him, too?
I just remember I got caught with something from the ground. I'd have to look back at the fight to try to remember, but
like from the ground?
Yeah, I turned over. He tried to pass, so I turned and I left a gap open, and he came up underneath my armpit.
Oh my god!
You know, while I was in the turtle position, the ref's position, and kind of stung me, and then so he hit hard. He got a good, nice, clean one in there, real quick.
Corey Anderson versus Aleir Latifi.
I don't have a much opinion on that. I don't watch them guys fight that much.
Chad Mendes versus Alex Volkanovski.
Mendes, right Mendes. On. I didn't know Mendes was fighting. Good for him. He hasn't been. What Mendes, happened to him? Was he on a suspension or something?
Yeah, he got caught with pop for something.
Oh, geez.
And
it was like something he said in his lotion or something.
It was like something. Yeah, like in its Flintstone vitamins.
So
he got popped something. But the guy he's fighting is good. The guy he fought fighting beat Elkins, Darren Elkins.
Okay, Darren Elkins is tough to beat.
And he fucking wrecked Elkins. Elkins, but
okay.
Andre Arlovsky.
Damage. Oh, I remember that last fight.
Yeah, that was.
He has damage written across his chest.
It was the fight before.
It's
that
a great
last
tattoo.
Fight. So Andre Arlovsky, a great tattoo. Really? If you're wearing her glasses,
right. Jesus
Come on.
Christ.
Andre Arlovsky versus Wal Harris.
Sweet tat.
Harris.
Yeah.
I like Andre.
Don't know.
I grew up watching
Andre
him.
Andre Arlovsky. Oh. You were in the movie with.
Oh, damn. That guy. I hope he wins.
Yeah. But Wal Harris is like.
Will Harris.
Walt Harris. Huge black guy. Looks like he was never did leg day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So mean. It's so accurate. I'm laughing because it's fucking true.
He would laugh. Megan Anderson versus Kat Zingano.
Megan.
Really?
Yeah. Length. Keep her at a distance.
That's all you got to do.
Why is Stephen Struve not undefeated?
Because he went against Mark fucking Hunt. You can hit that dude with a fucking sledgehammer. The sledgehammer's going to break first.
Look at you. Damn. So you think Megan's going to win, but Megan got out-wrestled by Holly Holm. Kat Zingano's a college wrestler. I think a college All-American.
Maybe if Kat can get in, we'll see.
Yeah. Who would you rather hook up with, by the way? Megan or Kat?
I'm not quite sure what either one of them looks
like. Megan's like 6'4", but like kind of hot, tattered.
Well, done. Right there, that one.
But Kat's like
no, she's real pale, isn't she?
Yeah, she's kind of pale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Kat's like
Is she English?
Yeah.
Australian.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
But Kat's like a sexy mom, but like hot mom, but always in shape and like.
No, that's okay.
All right.
I'm good.
Ryan Hall versus BJ Penn.
Jeez,
Why
Penn.
Is this fight even fucking happening?
Stop, that Penn.
Everyone Hall fought. You were there.
That should have been on the Golden Boy MMA card. Maynard. Jesus Christ.
Oh, Uriah and Penn's fighting?
No, Ryan Hall.
Ryan Hall?
Yeah, the jiu-jitsu dude who always won that.
Yeah, the footlock guy.
It looks like you're playing a video game and you're playing doing the same shitty move over and over again, but it somehow works.
Yeah.
Like,
Hideyukin, got him.
I'm happy, though, because I don't think he could hurt BJ Penn.
Yeah, but let's look at BJ Penn's last stand-up fight.
I'm going to guess that's going to be a grappling match.
But who wins the grappling match?
Penn.
Probably.
Isn't Ryan Hall like a god in jiu-jitsu?
I don't know. And I think yeah, maybe, but in the jiu-jitsu world, maybe Penn is the universe, and he's just God.
Have you ever grappled with Penn?
Oh, yeah. I got the shit kicked out of me, but I got no doubt about it. Really, really good.
What was that like?
Well, I just said I got the shit kicked out of me.
I know, but like,
yeah, no, it was good. Very technical. He gets on your back quickly, and yeah, he's really good.
Did you ever sub him?
No.
Not even close?
Nothing that sticks out. No, I
probably not. You
guys
in starting positions? And...
Well, we mostly was fight training. You know what I mean? So
who was he fighting?
He was fighting Rodrigo Gracie at the time.
Wow, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago, yeah.
Uriah Hall is taking on Bevan Lewis. I don't know who Bevan Lewis is, but I hope Uriah Hall wins.
Same.
I like Uriah
Hall.
He's
a nice dude.
Yeah.
Does he train with you guys?
No. But I've seen him before. He's really nice. He's very respectful.
I'm going to go with Uriah because I don't know the other guy.
And Seer Badazara. I like Seer. He's a guy that, like,
I see his face.
He's from Afghanistan. His whole school got blown up.
Jesus Christ.
Like, he's just seen some shit. I hung out with him one night with Mayhem and Mayhem, and Mayhem was telling him to calm down. That's how fucking crazy this guy is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this dude. He's taking on Curtis Millender. Millender's no joke, though. Curtis, he's won his last two fights against good guys. It should be a good fight. I don't know who wins this fight. And then Brian Kelleher is taking on Montel Jackson.
Who?
Brian Kelleher. He's the guy that... after he won his first like fight in the UFC, he's like, give me a fucking bonus. Like, he's kind of went crazy. But he beat a guy that he shouldn't have won. And then in Ryzen, in 2 days...
Cannot wait.
Really?
I love Ryzen.
Do you really?
Yes.
All right.
What do we got going on there?
We got Floyd Mayweather.
Get out of here.
Taking on Tenshin Nasukawa. But it's a boxing match.
Oh.
This guy's supposed to be awesome, but he's only 4-0. In MMA, I guess, but they're doing just boxing.
Yeah,
he's a really good kickboxer.
With boxing gloves on? I mean, with boxing gloves or with MMA gloves?
The record of the other dude in kickboxing has been incredible.
What is it?
I think it's like over 100 like wins or
something.
He's
21-0 or something. He's 21 years old. How could he have that many wins?
Well, look at Sylvie Bonnie too, that Muay Thai fighter in Thailand. She's got over 300 fights.
He's had some crazy shit, but
she like fights every other fucking
week. I think Mayweather's going to win this one, though.
We'll see.
I've heard of this, dude. You see how much I'm in the loop, man.
And then it was off, and then it was on again.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for the Gabby Garcia versus Barb. I can't pronounce her last name.
Okay, we'll get to that one. Next is Darian Caldwell, who I love, who was a national champion. He beat Brett Metcalf, who was like the shit in wrestling. And then at the end of the fight, he lost to him, got tech followed by him a couple weeks earlier, beat him, threw a head and arm to open the wrestling match. Like, which is like something that I take my middle school kids, don't do that. He did it in the national finals against like a 3-time champion. And then at the end of the match, he was up by like 10, started doing backflips. And then Metcalf just ran into him and threw him off the mat while hit midair.
While he was doing flips?
Yeah. Which was kind of a dick move, but Metcalf was a dick too. But Caldwell was like 101 in like high school wrestling. He's the champion of Bellator at 135.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to be 45. He's fighting Horiguchi. And Rising, doing some kind of cross thing. Horiguchi's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a good one. And then, like you said, Gabby Garcia. Who is Barbara Nempaqueno?
So she's a really good kickboxer, and she's knocked out a lot of big girls. And there's not even that much of a weight difference between Gabby Garcia and Barb this time. So I love Gabby. I met her. She's cool. She made me feel a little scared for my life when I was a security guard when she came to this event I was working at. But... if we've all seen her striking. Needs a little work.
You think she's going to lose?
What? Who?
Think Gabby's going to lose?
If it stands up, yes.
Wow.
Because this girl, Barb, has knocked out big-ass women.
I'm just happy she's not fighting grandmothers again.
Yeah, I think we're all grandmas? Satisfied. This is going to be a good test for Gabby.
She fought
Gabby.
Someone's nanny.
Dude, my favorite... ever was you were on the podcast. Number one was when John Wood's wife was selling all his stuff on the thing, like you bought it. He got so angry about it. That was one of the funniest. Second one was you
against friendship
on CM Punk. You were so angry about CM Punk being signed. You went on this like 25-minute tirade.
Sure.
Oh, it was great. It was the best. All right, Darren Cruikshank is fighting Damian Brown. That should be a good fight. Damian put good fighter. I like Cruikshank. He's a guy that's
same.
Like, Johnny Case is on the card. Against Yasuka Yachi. Justin Scoggins. Your man, South Carolina guy. Against Yuki Matoya. I don't know who the fuck that is. But
God bless you.
Good Scoggins. so that, and then in the PFL for $1 million.
Yeah, baby. Let's go, Vinny.
Ray Cooper III is taking on Magomed Kerimov. Ray Cooper III is knocking everyone out now. This guy from Hawaii.
Yeah, this little 5 foot
strength, man. I'm
nothing.
Telling y'all.
I think because Jake Shields beat up his dad in a fight, and then they fought. And he just killed Shades Chills twice. I think that his whole career got like. Also, it kind of shows you that if someone beat up your dad in a fight, maybe it's time to stop fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Felipe Lins versus Josh Huggy Bear Copeland.
What kind of name is that? But
Huggy Bear.
Each of these guys getting $1 million.
Yeah, I'm not even
fight.
Hating. I'm just like wondering what the fuck.
Oh,
little bit,
Cuddly but... Bear. Cuddly Bear.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Huggy Bear's someone else.
Vinny Magalish, who was on like a 12-fight losing streak, all of a sudden $1 million. And now
motivation, baby.
Killing everyone.
And two kids. That'll motivate you.
Head kicks. Mm-hmm. Like he's doing like flying scissors and all kinds of shit.
Flying scissors.
I don't know what that is. Sounds like a lesbian move. But,
it does.
Sean O'Connell, he's fighting. Sean O'Connell. O'Connell's got good power in his hands. Vinny's got to take it to the ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Vinny will get her done.
Yeah.
Vinny's going to win.
I hope he wins. He could use that $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, because I got to borrow cash.
Kayla Harrison's on the card, taking on Muriel Charnetsky. She's 3-4. Harrison's 2-0. The only gold medalist from the U.S., man or woman. And she did it twice.
Interesting.
And she's got a crazy backstory, where a horrible backstory, but she was molested by her judo coach. And now he's in jail.
Good. You should be shot as well.
And she goes around giving seminars and teaching, talking about it to school. Mm-hmm. So this is my kind of girl.
That was that Olympic medalist, right?
Yeah.
The blonde.
Well, I have now some more respect for this woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like her. And she's dating the guy from American Top Team who goes by Rocco now. He's a good
Rocco's
fighter.
Modern Life, what?
No, Rocco, I forgot. Rocco. All right, and also Nathan Schultz is fighting Rashid Magomedov. Here's where I like the PFL, right? Because these guys are fighting for $1 million. And other organizations... Nathan, they would not have Rashid Magomedov fighting for $1 million unless he was like got to Khabib status. These guys won the tournament.
Yeah,
they're getting $1 million.
They earned it fair and square.
Exactly.
Not who is marketable and who is like not.
Twitter followers.
Sure.
Yeah. Exactly.
So lame.
WWE.
You know how
stuff.
I get paid? You know how I get paid off of the video game, the UFC game that I'm in, by how popular I am on the game and how much I'm being used.
Really?
The fuck?
So you're not getting paid, huh? All right, so everyone, so I'm just fucking with you. Everyone,
actually, I'm not.
If you heard that, use Mike Pyle, everybody.
Shoot, I'm now going on my
game. Go on UFC, which one? UFC?
I got you, Mike.
Yeah, it's terrible cash.
UFC 3?
Yeah, well, I was in UFC 1.
Okay,
I'm that old, so yeah, in UFC 1, 2, 3, 4, now we're on 220, what now?
He's also in Pride Shockwave, the video.
I got you.
Hey, I had that game, that shit was awesome.
That was amazing.
He was an NHB 4.
I was an NHB fighter back in the day.
So
that was my acronym then.
So Lance, he was on the undercard of David vs. Goliath. That's funny. So Stephen Seiler is taking on Lance Palmer.
Come on, man, bring it.
Lance Palmer, Stephen Seiler.
I would like to see Seiler, but Lance is... tough to deal with. I know Seiler personally. Well, not personally, but
isn't Lance training with you guys? Or is he?
No.
No, he's over at Extreme.
I guess so. Oh well.
Why? No. Can guys cross train Extreme and Syndicate? Are they allowed?
No. I mean, I don't think that's no gyms really do that too much. Maybe jiu-jitsu gyms on open mats and stuff like that, but. But and, it needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, every
it needs,
Saturday
it needs
we have
to be
open
like
spar
that.
And anybody can come on in as long as they just signed a damn waiver. So I don't see why not.
Right. Yeah. I think it's girls is easier though. Some reason, like, it seems like there's less, girls.
I want to disagree.
Really?
Girls get territorial, as you know. So it gets all weird.
Got it. Who are your main training partners now?
Jojo Calderwood and Roxanne Modafferi,
nice.
My buddy.
Now, you were with Andrea Lee for a while, right?
Only for 3 weeks. When I was still an amateur, she had me come out because she was going to fight Sarah D'Alio here in Vegas when Invicta came around. And Sarah D'Alio dropped from 35 to 25. So the logical choice, like, let's get all the 135ers we can get our hands on. So after I'm done helping Misha get ready for Holly Holm, I'm going flying down to Shreveport, Louisiana, and staying with her and Andy Nguyen for like 3 weeks. And then I came out here.
Her husband obviously beat the shit out of her. Is now like on the
surprised.
Run. Did you knew that was going to happen? You had a feeling?
I saw stuff that I wasn't quite sure if it was okay or not. But at that time, I mean, I'm a guest in someone's house. I'm way the far fuck away from home. I'm in this house. It's like you have to go down this long ass drive to get to anyways. So it's just like, I don't know what to do. I just kind of kept my head down. I kind of feel shitty for it. Keeping my head down, just kind of going with it, because there are instances I saw that kind of shook me, and Andy kind of calmed me down a little bit. But, you know, it was, I kind of saw this coming. It sucks, you know, because my mom, she, you know, she went through domestic abuse as well, and she pretty much ran away with me, and that's it. When I was like 4. So my heart goes out to Andrea and her little girl as well. So, because I can kind of relate and I can see how damaging this is. So
damn, All right. Well, Andrea's fighting Ashley Evan Smith. Should be a good fight. I like Ashley Evan Smith. She's a friend of mine. Andrea came to my show last week, and they said don't make any domestic violence jokes, which I wouldn't have anyway. I mean, I wouldn't have anyway. It's hard, especially now.
Before
I could almost be like, a joke I would have made was like, oh, like War Machine beat up his girlfriend. It was his first win in 10 years. Or something where like, you're making fun of him and not the victim. But even that is now getting lumped into, no, you're making a domestic violence joke. Even, which is also like such a shitty line because...
Well, it's cold outside.
I mean, if you look at like O.J. Simpson, that... Like back when O.J., when that happened, I mean, they had like the dancing Itos on The Tonight Show. There was like millions of O.J. jokes. Some of the funniest jokes ever. This guy killed two fucking people, including his wife.
Allegedly.
Imagine now that happened.
Allegedly.
You make a joke about it and people would be like, you're making fun of somebody who got murdered.
Yeah,
it's like,
well,
no, we should be smart enough to realize... Sensitive. Who I'm making fun of.
Exactly, but too many people, like, too many people are just getting too offended. And I get there are certain lines you don't dance across, but look, if I can laugh at autistic jokes, for example, if we can laugh at certain things and realize that we're not making fun of the act itself or making fun of the shitbag who committed said act.
Of course.
We can get along a little bit.
And it's never, if I made an autistic joke about you, I guarantee it.
I'd fucking laugh.
You'd laugh. But everybody on Twitter would be like, you're making fun of autistic jokes.
Yeah, and I'd be
and autistic ones wouldn't have got it anyway.
That happens all the time. That happens with, what's his name? Nick Newell. Is like the guy with one arm. Is like, make jokes about me, right?
Yeah.
So, like, fucking. So Nick Newell, like, wants to go.
I think I even asked you at one show.
The one arm bandit. Yeah. So Nick wants to go to Bellator. And I wanted to be like, come on, Bellator, sign him. He'll give up his left arm for it or something. Like,
yeah.
But I knew people like, that's fucked up. Not the person I'm making fun of. And you're like, fuck, man, will you stop trying to like save people who are not getting offended?
I get that.
Everyone's offended on behalf of the person who's not offended.
I get that there are people who want to be good people. But if the person who you're making fun of is laughing,
it's not, the problem is it's not being a good person. You're actually,
this is why we
can't
have good things anymore.
You're actually also like saying that you're not good enough to be made fun of.
Exactly.
And you're not strong enough to take the joke. So if anything, you're actually hurting you worse. It's the opposite of what you think you're doing.
Exactly.
You're actually not including the person. You're not treating them as equals.
I make many autistic jokes.
Basically, everybody stop being a goddamn crybaby.
Thank you.
It's unbelievable.
You already know that it really doesn't bother you, but you gotta have your voice heard for some stupid reason, and nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, no, totally.
You know it's a joke. Knock it off already.
Signal over. This is not one of them.
Now, there was a kid, though, by the way, on my wrestling team this year who was out of control, super funny, but was just everything I said, he was just make a stupid wise ass comment. I'd make the whole team do sprawls because of that. And finally, like the team would. Then his mom pulled him, but his mom said he was autistic. And I'm like, I don't think it's autism. I think it's just being a jerk. Do you find that sometimes people label someone autistic as a way to cop out,
escape their bad behavior?
Yeah,
I can see that, but I also see like a lot of autistic kids growing up, like they also can have a existing condition like ADHD or something else a little
that makes
abnormal
sense.
With them, which is, you know, which is fine and whatever, but you don't just blame autism this, autism that. Look at me. I'm not too much of an asshole.
You're not an asshole at all.
No, I can be, but if I'm an asshole, someone really fucking deserved it. But I'm pretty cool with everybody. I'm not acting like a dick or whatnot. I mean, just it's called parenting. Control your fucking kid. And I mean, I understand there's some sensory issues that might set them off, but that's your job as a parent to find them and get the help they need. Like my parents struggled for a long ass time with me trying to figure out what the fuck I need. I needed weed and CBD oil. I needed CBD oil so it wasn't foggy in my head all the time.
Right.
And not have the sensory issues with the light and noise. We didn't know that until I came out here in Vegas that CBD was all I needed. I didn't need all these anti-psychosis drugs growing up that made me have hives and shit. It was just...
Well, you can get it at scmedicinals.com. They have great
CBD. Where could we get some of that at?
You can get it at scmedicinals.com. Use the code ROASTED. Great coconut oil, put in your coffee. Great olive oil. So, Mike, what do you got coming up? What could we see you in? What do you have? If I want to train with you, promote something.
You could come to Syndicate every day at 4:30 and get in your gi and learn to defend yourself.
Nice.
With some Brazilian jiu-jitsu, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you're going to be teaching?
And I will be teaching.
Wow. That's fucking awesome. It's all levels?
It's a fun class.
All levels.
All right, that's great. And then Serena, what do you got coming up?
So I'm going to be out of commission till probably the spring. But after the spring, I'm going to be right back. I'm going to get ready, you know, find some fights. Hopefully Invicta will sign me fucking finally. Or I'll just go back to Montana and beat up some more people. And then they'll think I'm, you know, they'll think I'm so my autism, so methodical. And that's why I win. The announcers were a trip. It was awesome.
What happened?
So I fought. My last fight was during Autism Awareness Month, which is April. So when I heard the commentary like the day after, when they're like, "She's the first full-blown autistic fighter," I'm like, "Full-blown? I thought I was half-blown autistic." Okay, we're going full-blown now. And then midway during the fight, you know, because I'm picking this girl Kelly Clayton apart. I'm finding her patterns. Like, I'm throwing the same thing over and over again because she's leaving it plain as day open for me to hit her. I'm like hitting her with like certain punches and kicks. And then she's like, she's very methodical acting. Maybe it's because of the autism. I'm like,
oh my God.
Oh my God. Yes, it's the autism that makes me methodical. It's not like I train at like one of the best gyms with like the best coach
and then
or something.
Start winning fights.
Yeah, everybody get all those vaccines and get some autism, right?
That's hilarious. All right, cool. Well, listen, I'm here at the Stratosphere the rest of the week till Sunday night. Then I'm at the Long Beach Laugh Factory on Wednesday, January 2nd. I'm in Harvey's Comedy Club in Oregon. That's on January 24th to the 27th. And then I'm going to be in Calgary at the Comedy Cave, February 21st to the 24th. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you, Mike Pyle. Thank you, Serena DeJesus.
DeJesus. You'll get it. DeJesus. It's okay.
DeJesus.
White people have a hard time with my last name. I understand.
Yes. Are you fully Mexican?
No, I'm half Puerto Rican.
Half? Oh, okay. That explains the anger. Okay. thank you guys so much.
It's the autism.
And enjoy. Happy New Year. Take care.
Traps on some traps. Traps on some trap. Don't some trap. Түүний сонс тө хөгч юм дөр булаа. Даа дэс дуутан дөр булаа бууруулаа.